Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to Torture Cast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is Torture Cast.
It's Thursday, June 23rd, 2022, and this is episode 256 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, back fresh off the island of Maui. Had a great time out there, so apologize for the one-week delay in our recording, but I'm joined, as always, by Eric Nathanson. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Not as good as you, though. I think Hawaii is a good enough reason for anybody to be missing a Giants podcast for a week. So I hope you had a good time. You don't look as tan as I thought you would, but you look well rested. I'll say that.
Yeah, the sunscreen was used liberally, and I did not get burned. So that was really nice. And you know what I did for the first time, I think, since I've been an adult on vacation? I didn't drink.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have a single alcoholic beverage over those 10 days or 11 days or whatever it was, which is unusual for me. I'm always like, so, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's do this, you know?
So you woke up like nice and refreshed every single morning then.
So that was the thing, you know, when you first go to Maui, living in California, it's a 3-hour difference. So, you know, I was waking up at 5 a.m, like the first few mornings, but it slowly transitioned, but I was still getting up at like 6 o'clock, 6:30 every morning. But that's the thing, is I was just like fresh and ready to go. So I just get a cup of coffee, go out on the lanai, you know, cruise social media and the news and a little bit of work email. And then the kids got up and then, you know, we'd go about our day. Yeah, a lot of sun, a lot of surf. We did zip lining over 300-foot canyons and,
oh wow,
you know, snorkeling, a molokini, luau, the whole kit and caboodle. So definitely relaxed. And I think I need that relaxation and that dopamine to deal with what's happened with the Giants over the last 5 days. Because while I was gone, of course, I couldn't watch the games that much, but kept in touch. And, you know, they were playing well, and they were sneaking up in the NL West there. And it was like, okay, maybe this is it. This is the time the season turns around. They make their move and they get back into the thick of things, but they've hit a bit of a road bump here, speed bump the last few days, and that's what we're here to talk about today. But yeah, aloha and mahalo for nothing, Braves. Thank you very much.
Right.
They did lose 3 out of 4, concluding today, just about an hour ago. Overall, the last 2 weeks they've gone 8-6 since we last recorded. But before we get in the details of the last couple of weeks, I do want to talk about a trade that went down today, which I know you have a good perspective of, I think. But the Giants sent Steven Duggar to the Texas Rangers for outfielder Willie Calhoun. So that's I'm not going to say a head-scratcher. I guess I didn't see this coming. I didn't hear anything about wanting to trade Duggar or trying to get a bigger bat. But that's kind of what it looks like they've done. So let me hear your thoughts, Eric.
Well, I mean, Duggar was getting caught up in the roster crunch. Today was the day he had to be activated to the 40-man roster, or, you know, DFA'd or traded. And the Giants managed to trade him for Willie Calhoun, who's basically another left-handed hitting outfielder. So it doesn't solve that crunch, but it does, because Calhoun, as you mentioned here in the notes, was DFA'd by the Texas Rangers and sent down to AAA Round Rock. And because of that, he requested a trade. And because he's in the minor league system, he doesn't have to be placed on the 40-man roster to complete the trade. So this is a way to not have to put Duggar on the 40-man. And then when Wade comes back, he can still come back and join the team like normal. And Luis Gonzalez, who went on the IL today, is the reason this move happened. It's just so ironic that we woke up to news of Luis Gonzalez going on the IL. And then, wait, Duggar might be traded for Calhoun. And Calhoun had a good year a couple years ago, but apparently he's just underutilized potential. And it's just roster management. It's really what it comes down to. Plus, they got cash considerations, so they can use that in their next trade. And Calhoun is a free agent after the season, so he's wiped off their books if they don't need him. Duggar would have had another year on their books guaranteed. So you also got to wonder if that factored in. So that's kind of why it seems like they traded apples for apples, but it was all about the 40-man roster spot.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Pavlovic, I love his little snide remark at the end. They traded for cash considerations to be used in their next trade with Seattle. I thought that was good.
I mean, it's true.
I mean, you know, that's the only thing I could consider is because we've been talking about this roster crunch coming up with Duggar coming off and you know, Lamont as well. And yeah, this is a procedural way to handle that, kind of kick the can down the road. It's just interesting because we're still, I think, getting used to a general manager, you know, basically using players as roster management pawns this much. I mean, it's just, this is something you would never have seen Brian Sabian do, because I wouldn't say it's loyalty, but in a way it is. It's kind of like, oh, Duggar's been on the roster for, you know, off and on for 5 years. You know, we're not going to trade him because we have a roster crunch coming up. But Farhan, man, it's all numbers to him. He's like, yeah, we know what Duggar is. He's a great speedy outfielder, speedy base runner with no pop. I mean, very little pop. So, yeah, we'll trade apples for apples in a way. I mean, Calhoun is more of a power hitter. But just for that reason, because he doesn't need to be placed on the Major League roster or the 40-man, yep. Sorry, the Major League roster. And so they can kind of kick that can down the road now. But Duggar's gone. You know, hashtag forever giant, I guess, because he was a giant who stuck around for quite some time. And so for me, I guess I did, especially being in Hawaii for a couple, you know, for the last week and a half, I hadn't heard anything about this. I knew the roster crunch was coming, but this is a solution to that. And so I guess kudos to, you know, Farhan for being creative and finding a way out of the roster crunch coming up. Because the one thing that we did not want to see is Luis Gonzalez being sent down. I mean, that just, he's earned his spot. He has earned his spot. He clearly is more valuable than Steven Duggar at this point. And so, okay. I mean, they got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, apparently, like you said, Calhoun's got a little more pop. I'm looking at Duggar's stats. His best year was obviously last season for the Giants. But there was never, you know, a role defined for him in general. I like Duggar. He was a hard worker. You know, sixth round draft pick. He was a sixth round draft pick out of Clemson. So he made his debut back in 2018. So Duggar kind of was here before the turnaround happened. So that's kind of why you hate to see him go, just for that respect.
Yeah.
Because he was not brought in by the Farhan regime. He was brought in by the old regime, which is, again, something that makes you kind of easily expendable in this new organizational structure, a la Joey Bart in the next month or so. I'm just saying. So Farhan is definitely more likely to trade guys that were drafted before he got here, and Duggar fit that bill, and he just ran out of time and ran out of options in a sense with the Giants because of Luis Gonzalez. And yeah, roster crunches happen, and I'm glad they happen. It's just, it's kind of weird to trade apples for apples, though. That is the one thing. A left-handed outfielder for a left-handed outfielder. Like, there wasn't a middle reliever or somebody out there that they could have gone with, because we've seen on the back end of the bullpen right now, they need some help. And, you know, I would have liked to see them go that direction with the trade, though, with Duggar. That's the one kind of drawback I see to this move.
Yeah, and the Giants benefit from the procedural move, but it is, you know, and I guess the Rangers benefit too, because, I mean, this is a guy that DFA'd, right? He cleared waivers, and no one even picked him up. And then he was assigned, because, of course, if they picked him up, you got to put him on the roster. But then he was assigned and requested the trade, and here we go. So I guess both teams got what they wanted out of this. We'll see what happens with Duggar filling in as the main fourth outfielder with the injury they have out there to Texas. But, you know, hey, look, we wish him good luck. A little weird, not sad, but just a little weird to see him go. But
yeah. You know, weird. I totally agree. It's not a sad moment. Duggar doesn't have some great Giants moment. It's just that guy was a Giant. He always was.
Yeah, you just always expect to hear his name here, you know, over the next couple of years. But as you mentioned, in 2019, Calhoun had his best year. He slashed .269 with 21 bombs, only 48 RBI. But since then, he's only hit .223 with 8 homers and 40 RBI. So he's had a couple of injury issues. He got hit in the face. He got hit in the forearm. So at least you can attribute those injuries to bad luck, not like chronic, like Brandon Belt injuries, although some of his are bad luck too, getting hit with, you know, line drives as well. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I guess I just was reading over Twitter that Jock Peterson and Calhoun know each other really well, so they've already texted one another, and so Jock's excited to see.
I think he was a Farhan draft pick too with the Dodgers originally, if I'm not mistaken.
With LA. That's absolutely right. He knew him, they knew each other from their days in LA. So that's where it comes
so from. So there's another piece to the puzzle that of Farhan wanting to work with his own guys instead of guys from somebody else.
Yeah, he's very familiar with them. So all right, well, you know, we'll see what Calhoun does whenever he gets called up. We'll see if that will happen at some point.
And hopefully that's not the last trade we're talking about. Like I said, this team needs some relief help, so hopefully they'll get some on the back end. And maybe even a starter with the way things have been shaken out lately.
So shortly after I landed in Maui, things started off so well for the Giants. They had an incredible three-game sweep of the Dodgers, and that really propelled them right back into the thick of the NL West race. I mean, they were back up to like three games back. That's one of those things where you look at the reverse. If they were swept by the Dodgers, they'd be nine games back. And you're like, the season's not over, but, you know, it's like, good luck with that. And then they, you know, took the next two. They had won, what, five or six in a row at that point. The next two against Kansas City before dropping the final by one run. They went into Pittsburgh, who they've had trouble with. They haven't had a winning series against them, I think, since 2018 or something like that. 2017, okay. And they took two out of three. But again, the final game, they lost on a walk-off by one run to Pittsburgh in a game they really should have won. And then they headed into red-hot Atlanta, and they had won, I believe, 16 out of their last 18 opening up this series. And the Braves took three out of four, but only outscored the Giants by one run because all three losses were by one run again, and two of those three, and three out of their last four losses have all been walk-offs. And that's where it really starts to hurt, Eric. And right in the pre-show, you read stats from last year and this year in one-run games, and that's going to be a huge factor, I think.
I mean, that's part of why teams like the 2021 Giants win 107 games, is they have that great record in one-run games because that luck factor kind of leans their way a lot of the time. And they went 31-17 in one-run games last year. And this year, they're at 9-14. So they're almost lost as many one-run games in the first half of this season as they did all of last season. And if you just flip three or four of those games around, they're two games behind the Dodgers and the Padres and fighting for first place right now instead of five and a half back. And it's amazing how, like, those kind of razor-thin margins are what the Giants are living and dying by. And when you leave runners on base, when you get 14 hits and like 18 base runners today and you only get six runs out of it, it gets frustrating at times. So it's kind of why they're losing these one-run games right now. The bullpen's not holding leads and the offense isn't putting together any big innings whatsoever. It's been really frustrating to watch. So one-run games, though, I mean, that is, if you just want to find one distinct difference as to why the Giants are 38-31 this year instead of 45 and quick math, 26, it's because they're starting to lose these one-run games. 9-14 in one-run games. I mean, that's going to be a 500 team or worse most of the time. And thankfully, the National League is open enough that they are going to compete for a playoff spot all year long. Because just stay above 500, that's all they have to do. But just imagine two or three of those one-run games twist the other way. And it's a different story.
Well, you bring up a really valuable point. I just did some quick math here, which I'll refer to in a second. But let me review what they've been doing over the last 2 weeks. Like we said, they lost four out of the last five, but over the last 2 weeks since we recorded, they're 8-6, and are now 38-31, five and a half games. LA just won today. Five and a half games back of LA, five games back of San Diego. They're in second place. But they were as close as three games earlier in the week. They're also virtually tied with the Milwaukee Brewers for the third and final wild card spot. So right now, one of those teams would be out if the season were to end today. They're two games back of Atlanta, which, of course, they lost those games in this series, and five back of San Diego. So it's great that there's that the extra opportunity to make a wild card spot this year. And that's going to buffer for some of these extra losses the Giants have been suffering. They're not going to win 107 games this year. We know this. That's not going to happen. Getting walked off three losses in a row, or three times out of those four losses, and all four losses by one run, and all five losses, like you pointed out, their last five losses, if you include the Kansas City loss, are all by one run.
Right? So they would have been 9-9 instead of 9-14. Look at that.
So they were, yeah, so they were 9-9 heading into that stretch, right? They were 500 in one-run games, and they, now they've lost 5 one-run games in a row. Now, if you take last year's winning percentage in one-run games at 31-17, that's a .646 clip. If you multiply that by the 23 games they've been in now, they would be 14-9. Actually, 14.8, but I'm rounding down. 14-9. That's a five-game swing, Eric. You do the math. They're a half game back. They're tied. They're tied right with San Diego. They're tied with San Diego and a half game back of the Dodgers. So there you go. I mean, you nailed it right there. If they play the way they were last year in one-run games, they're right there in the thick of it. So that's been a huge difference. And, of course, hitting has been very good this year. I don't really have any complaints by it. We had problems today. 4 double plays hit into in the first 4 innings. Bases loaded with one out in the first. Longo grounds on a double play. 2 runners on in the second with nobody out. Grounds into a double play. I mean, Casale knocked in the guy from third after that.
Yeah, thank goodness, right?
Thank goodness they got something out of it, right? And then double plays in the third and the fourth inning after leadoff guys got on. They had 14 hits today. They did find themselves down 7-0, 7-1, and chipped away and got to within 7-6, but still lost it. So this is a one-run loss that, you know, it doesn't hurt as much because they were down by 7 runs at one point.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, they're pitching, man. They've been struggling, you know. April was fantastic, and then May is when they really crapped the bed, and we thought, okay, June's going to be better. Now, statistically, June has been better than May, but it has not been good. It has not been good. Their team ERA still stands at 19th. Ugh! Like, this is not the team we expected. 19th in the major leagues at 3.99. I mean, these are a handful of the teams. Of course, there's 18 teams better. But that just by name give me the creepy crawlies and make me feel nauseous. The Phillies, Mariners, the Angels, the wow. Rangers, the Guardians, they all have better ERAs than the Giants. That just,
wow.
That's not good, man. That's for the season, not for like 2 weeks or a month. That's for the entire season so far. So the pitching is clearly, I mean, they're like 9th or 10th in most offensive categories. They're above average. But their pitching is just not cutting it, and that's been, you know, rearing its ugly head. We had the 3-1 lead against Atlanta last night. Obviously, Camilo Duvall had been used a lot. You can't just keep going to the kid over and over and over again, so they put in McGee. Solo shot to lead off the inning after an 0-2 count, you know, and goes to full. And, of course, it's, you know, he's throwing the slider more, but still one-trick pony in McGee. You know, Swanson crushes it. Then, you know, it was a single, and then a fly ball to center field and heads up base running by Ozuna, who tagged up and, you know, made it to second and then scored on a base hit. Then the next guy gets on base and he steals second, and then he scores the winning run on a base hit by former Giant Adam Duvall. And that was aggressive base running by the Braves, and kudos to them. The Giants, you know, couldn't cover for that fly ball in center field, and they're not as aggressive themselves. So the Braves put themselves in situation to win, and they did it. So, and then you had Camilo Duvall has been struggling a little bit lately. And then Alex Wood, for whatever reason today, you know, first inning gives up another home run to Swanson. I think it was number 11 for him. But in the top of the second, he goes walk, hit, walk, and then I hit by pitch, and then another
pitch.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, 3 free bases or 3 yeah, right there, 3 free runners, 2 walks and a hit by pitch, and it led to a 5-run inning. So he just completely lost control, and that put him behind the 8-ball from the beginning. So it's been a struggle, and especially when they waste beautiful pitching performances like Carlos Rodon last night. It goes, you know, whatever, 7 innings, you know, 3 hits, 1 run, strikes out 10. It sucks. It really hurts to see, but it is what it is.
I don't want to get on McGee too much because he'd been really good since he got off the IL. Mm-hmm. And Rodgers is the guy I'd get on the most. And it's not even Rodgers who's at fault. It's Cap for putting him in these positions right now. Rodgers obviously is not fooling anybody at all and doing anything positive. So put him in a mop-up role. Slide somebody else in there. Even if it's Dominic Leone or Zach Littell or Yarlene Garcia for a while. Do that. just do somebody other than Rodgers for a little bit. So I kind of give Cap a little crap for that one. But like McGee, I thought, you know, he's been well. It was the first time he was touched up for runs in like 9 straight appearances.
Yeah.
So it just happens. And this Braves series, you know, you just kind of microcosmed it. It was a really tough series. They're a tough ball club. They put together the hits. They take the extra base. They're aggressive on the base pass. They do what winning teams do, which makes sense. They won the World Series last year, and a lot of those guys are back. So I think that that really also factors into a day like yesterday when it really kind of fell apart for McGee there. And it's just frustrating because like this series against Atlanta reminded me very much of the series against the Mets back in April, where they lost 3 out of 4 games, where it really looked like they could have won 3 out of 4, maybe 4 out of 4. And they played pretty much toe-to-toe with the other team, but still lost the 3 out of 4 in the end. And that's just the frustrating part as being a Giants fan right now. And we just kind of got to accept that it happened and hope that they can bounce back and start beating up on some crappy teams this next week when Cincinnati and Detroit and then the White Sox come to town. You know, you hope they can take care of business that way, because so far in their 2 tests against the 2 NL East Titans, the Mets and the Braves, they have failed by losing 3 of 4, even though they've looked really close to this, similar team in doing so, because they did. They matched punch for punch. Today, coming back from 7-1 was fantastic. It really did show what the Giants have on offense and the fact that you can't just put them away. And, yeah, you know, that's what this series reminded me of. And so I'm not panicky after losing 3 of 4 to Atlanta, but it is frustrating that it highlights that they need to start fielding better and they kind of need to add somebody in the back end of that bullpen.
Yeah, the Braves entered last night's game only 2-24 when trailing after 6 and 0-26 when trailing after 7. So they haven't actually had the knack or panache for coming back in games, but they got their first one, you know, trailing after 7 or 8 last night. So unfortunately it was against the Giants. So yeah, I mean, winning last night's game and, you know, could have won today's as well if Wood didn't crap the bed. I mean, easily should have split the series. Clearly should have split. We're really close with those 2 1-run losses to taking 3 out of 4. But, you know, that's, as they say, that's baseball, Eric. You know, we're going to
get the whole road trip. Could have been 7-0, and they went 3-4, and you know, you just left with a sour taste after this one because they did start off so well. Rodon dominated in Pittsburgh to start off this that series to get the road trip going in a good direction. And then Wood came and I think pitched a good game, and then they did lose on Father's Day to that guy Jack Sawinski or whatever the hell his name is. Hit 3 yeah, home runs. Like, seriously, I'd never heard of that guy. Sounds like a witness protection name. Like, you know, Jack Sawinski is hiding from the law. He testified against Tommy Two Fingers. I mean, what are you going to do when a guy like that beats you? And then just the Atlanta series came in. So, you know, it's a frustrating road trip, but they are 38-31. They're not the teams you just listed off. They're not the Mariners or the Angels or the Rangers or the Phillies, thankfully. Thankfully, they're the Giants. And they still do have cores of guys. You know, LaStella's starting to heat up a little bit. Belt just came back. Wade's going to be coming back soon. So there's reinforcements on the way again. Because, again, injuries have taken a toll on the Giants this season. I feel like every time we do this podcast, we're listing off like 10 injuries, and it probably won't be any different today.
No, let's go ahead and talk about them.
All right. Hey, look at that. I didn't even scroll down.
Yeah, we actually just had the aforementioned Luis Gonzalez, unfortunately. He just went down with a back strain, so he's on the injured list retroactive to
yesterday. He's been carrying the team.
Oh, but don't. Nice. Very good. Look, we had Alex Cobb and Disco come back recently. Obviously, they're very rusty right now. We'll give them some time, but their admirable replacement, Jacob Junis, went to the 15-day injured list on June 11th, so basically almost 2 weeks ago. But dealing personally with hamstring issues, I think that might be one of those things where it's going to be longer than a 15-day stint. We'll see. I haven't heard anything otherwise, but hamstrings are just traditionally 3 to 6 weeks, you know, kind of thing. So we'll see how bad it is. Jose Alvarez went to the 15-day DL with a lower back strain as well. And then, not that this matters as much, but right-handed pitcher Sam Delaplane was transferred from the 7 to the 60-day IL with a right forearm strain. So those are kind of the main.
Which was another roster move to get him off the 40-man roster so that they could take care of things like the Duggar-Calhoun trade. It's all dominoes in Farhan's world. That's why 40 8 players have suited up so far for the Giants this season.
Yeah, yeah, you got that counter going, right? So,
yep. You know, I'm eyeing that all year. They're gonna. I want to see if they hit 70.
Kind of like a splash counter, you know, splash hits like, you know, roster number or something like that. Yeah, they're clearly.
What will they have more of at the end of the year? Wins or players who have played on the roster? I mean, sure, it'll be wins, but.
Well, we know Calhoun will make an appearance at some point.
I was going to list him as number 49. I'm like, wait, nope, he's still in the minor leagues. But somebody's going to get injured, and they're going to need him at some point. So
they're going to have him. Yeah, they're going to call him up at some point. There's no doubt about that. There's probably two more trades with the Mariners, and we'll see what they do. But I mean, look,
I tell you what, I want to get Bednar from the Pirates. We saw him this weekend. He is the older brother of Will Bednar, who was the first round draft choice of the Giants last season. Mm-hmm. And he's good. He seems to have some filthy stuff. So I'd love to see the Giants trade for him for some right-handed relief help.
You know, I try to look at this with, again, the silver lining going, man, all the one run losses and this and that, what coulda, shoulda, woulda. It's like, look, they swept the Dodgers. I mean, that was like crucial to them being even in the mix right now, because, you know, 5.5 games isn't the end of the world. The problem is they have two really good teams ahead of them at 5 and 5.5. And so the NL West, unless they get back into it, it's going to be really, really tough. The Dodgers and or the Padres are going to win 95 plus games. And the Giants just are not in that territory right now. And they haven't really shown that all year. You know, April they did for a little bit. But since then, it's just not coming together, I think. So, again, the above-average team, above mediocrity, might squeak into the playoffs, which might be all they need. But, yeah, I think the NL West is tall order because you got to leapfrog two teams, really good teams. But, hey, at least they swept the Dodgers and they don't find themselves 10 games back and out of the wild card right now. So,
yeah, imagine had they lost 2 or 3 in that series. We'd feel like they might be out of it already. But
yeah, because
nope,
that'd be a
4-game
swing. They'd be 9.5 back right now if they'd lost 2 out of it.
Yeah.
Three, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Giants pitching just needs to lock down, and I think their offense will take care of itself, which it has been. So, yeah, the Giants right now have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 6th best record in the National League with Milwaukee, of course. So, yeah, they're right there above mediocrity.
And they hold the tiebreaker right now over Milwaukee, having beaten them in the one matchup between the two teams, because that is now the tiebreaker.
That's right. Yeah, they don't have any more game 163s. I kind of miss that, though. I kind of like the game
163s. Yeah, I will.
But I understand.
Well, that's what's going to make some of these series, like with the Braves important, with possibly the Phillies, possibly the Brewers. Like, you got to beat these teams that you're competing with for the playoff spot, because if it comes down to it and you tie them at the end of the season, if you have a losing record against them, you're SOL at that point. So the Giants really want to win, you know, at least split like this Braves series and give them a chance to take the season serious. Now they got to win 3 straight in San Francisco later this year.
Yeah, that'd be nice to be playing in the NL Central right now. They'd be 1 game back.
Oh, wow.
I know. St. Louis is leading the NL Central right now. So good for them. Whatever, NL Central. Pieces of crap.
They had a guy. Cardinals had a guy who almost threw a no-no the other day, and it got busted up with 8 2/3.
Oh,
after
that.
8 2/3, yeah, no, that was awesome though, because I will absolutely root against a Cardinal player getting a no-hitter. I'm totally fine with that. I'll root against a Dodgers player getting a no-hitter, probably even still a Yankees player, but I've no shame in that. Yeah, I can't remember who it was though, so it wasn't that important.
All right, well, the Giants' offense has not been too bad, so let's talk about who's hot and who's not. Jock Peterson. And this is kind of over the last 1 to 2 weeks, depending on what I'm going to be talking about. Jock Peterson, 3 bombs this week, so he's kind of sparked up again. In fact, he got his World Series ring in Atlanta, which was pretty cool. And he busted out the pearls for that ceremony, which is pretty good. I mean, look, he's got a lot
of... I think he wore them all series, too.
Did he wear them all series? Wow, that's pretty awesome. So is he going to retire them coming back to San Francisco? Because that's an Atlanta special?
Probably. Especially because he homered in his last at-bat there today when he hit that moonshot over the chop house or whatever that is there.
Yeah, he crushed that thing off of, what's his face?
Kenley.
Kenley Jansen.
Isn't it weird seeing Kenley in a Braves uniform?
It's just weird. It's just weird seeing him in a Braves uniform. It's kind of like, not as much, but like when you see like Willie Mays in a Mets uniform or something, you know, you're like, whoa, what's going on there? So
Joe Namath as a Niner.
Oh, man. Oh, I wish I could bring it up right now. I'm part of this vintage baseball classic face, Facebook group where they punt, you know, the people are just posting old photos of baseball, whether it be official photos, baseball cards, but a lot of times it's like personal photographs from like grandfathers. Here's a photo from the 1954, right, whatever, you know, like something that's really never been seen before. But they had this trend going on for about 2 weeks, and it was cracking me up because it was all done in fun. It was all, here's an ode to the all-time New York Met great Willie Mays, right? And they'd show a picture of Willie Mays in there. And it was great because so many people who didn't get in on the joke were like, what are you talking about? No, oh, yeah, he only played for the Mets for like 2 years. He was on the Giants. He made most of his career with the Giants. And like people would never explain the joke to them. They would just let it go. It was great. And so there were all of these posts, and I can't think of examples right now, but it was just all these, you know, Hall of Famers that like moonlighted or moonlit for like one team for two at bats or something. And they had that, you know, that photo of them. They're like all time great, you know, like Mike Piazza in a whatever uniform or
Will Clark as a Cardinal, right? I mean,
yeah,
isn't that
they
the
did
same
stuff
thing?
Like that. I mean, it was great. And all these people got all bent out of shape going, you don't even know your baseball. That player didn't even play. You know, it was like, chill out. Anyway, yeah, go look that up. I think it was Vintage Baseball Classics or something like that. All right, so Austin Slater, he's been kind of, you know, non-existent, but he's been barking with his bat at 1.136 OPS over his last 15 games. He's got three home runs over that stretch. So I mean, that's
homer today.
Not bad at all. Tom La Stella, 385 over his last 10 games. Of course, we talked about Rodon. He's definitely back to where he was in April. Last three games, 2-0, should be 3-0. 2-0, 0.43 ERA, 21 innings, 26 Ks. And then Logan Webb showing some fire again as well. Last three games, 1-1 with a 1.37 ERA. So he's coming around. And a lot of this,
hit
you know,
Stella.
I haven't been able to see. So, like, what have you been seeing out of these players in the games you've been watching the last couple weeks?
Yeah, it's funny. La Stella was a good call. You could see it. I mean, the guy can't field, so he needs to do something. And he had another two hits today, and he seems to be in the middle of things lately. So you can appreciate that. And then Rodon, like you said, he could have been 3-0. He's looked fantastic lately. Webby's looked fantastic lately. Gonzo really was the best player on this team over the last week or so before he got injured, which is just frustrating to see. It's weird that even I looked at his stats too, and they didn't really reflect it. And Jock, I didn't realize he had three bombs like this, but Slater again got the start versus a righty today and came through against a righty, which you like to see. Yeah, because obviously the Giants, you know, have so many left-handed bats in the outfield. They're going to get another one back soon in Wade. But I mean, other than that, it was good to see La Stella. Now, I mean, we're going to go through who's not, and that's what's really stuck out to me is the guys who have not been hot. Because do you mind if I just roll into the who's not list?
Go for it.
Because you have it here, and these are the guys that carried the team, were the most consistent hitters for the first 2 months. But Yaz is hitting 128 in his last 14 games, and Flores is hitting 159 in his last 13 games. Those were the two most consistent hitters for the Giants over the first 2 months of the season, and they've just fallen flat. I mean, Yastrzemski K'd four times today and flew out in his final at-bat. And then Wood, 12 earned runs in his last 12 innings pitched, highlighted by the epic meltdown he had today in Atlanta. And so having those guys struggle does not help when you need to need to score a run so you don't lose by one like the Giants have been doing. And Yaz and Flores, just seeing them struggle lately has been frustrating. Yaz especially, because every so often he looks like he's got the perfect swing on. He homered yesterday in the first inning, and then he really didn't connect with the bat at all lately. So it's frustrating to see that happen, especially Wilmer, because Wilmer was consistent for so long during this season, and then he hasn't really come through lately at all.
Yeah. Yaz is definitely one of those Farhan diamond in the roughs, and he's been great. I mean, don't get me wrong, but his trajectory seemed to suggest more than what he's been producing the last couple of years. That said, still, you know, above average major league outfielder that they got for basically nothing. So there's nothing wrong with that. But he definitely had that a little bit of minutia behind him, not to mention the name and how he busted out. It was kind of like, maybe this guy's going to be pretty damn good for the Giants. And he's been fine, but, you know, not, I guess not as good as maybe some of the hype that they were delivering.
I still think he's got the talent. He's just naturally a great ball player. You can just see it in his movements when he's running around the outfield, his instincts on the base paths. But he gets in his head when it comes to hitting sometimes. And he outguesses himself, and it kills him. And that's when these cold snaps happen, because there was one earlier in the year for him that happened just like this, where he was swinging and missing constantly. It wasn't just – and taking pitches he really should have been smashing. It's not just that, like, he's popping the ball up every time or, you know, pulling out early. It's just that he's literally outthinking himself in most situations.
Yeah, frustrating. All right, let's talk about transactions this last couple of weeks. And of course, there's always a long list with Farhan, so I'll try to go as fast
as
I
can. Yeah, you tell me when you need to
take
a break and I'll pick it up. I'll
be like, the Seattle Mariners claim Kevin Padlow off waivers from the San Francisco Giants on June 11th. Cincinnati Reds claim outfielder Stuart Fairchild off waivers from the San Francisco Giants on June 11th. I'll stop that. I'm not going to do that to you guys. The Giants optioned Ramos to the River Cats and, of course, recalled him on the 13th. They recalled Lavera from Sacramento as well. They optioned Donovan Walton, of course, recently called him up. We'll get to that back on June 13th. They activated Brandon Belt from the 10-day injured list, and he hasn't been doing a whole lot since then. On the 14th, they signed free agent left-handed pitcher Matt Hall to a minor league contract. And then they claimed Yermin Mercedes to Sacramento. They got him off waivers from the White Sox. So we didn't even talk about that, Eric.
Another White Sox fine.
Another White Sox and another, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, I mean, what do you think's going on here? Is this kind of translating to what you think might happen with Bart? I don't know.
I think it's added insurance for what I think will happen with Bart, if you want me to be perfectly honest. Yermin Mercedes has played a lot of first base, though, lately, but I do think the Giants have some catching in mind. Thankfully, Austin Wins has been contributing, so they really haven't had to panic with this right now. But I do. I think that this is extra insurance in case they want to trade Joey Bart. I mean, Yermin Mercedes is the guy that got into it with Tony La Russa last year. So any guy that gets into it with Tony La Russa is a good guy in my book. So I'm happy to have him on the team.
Yeah, I'm down with that too. So for sure. All right, why don't you pick it up from there?
Well, by claiming Yermin, they ended up designating Michael Papierski for assignment, which was fine. That guy had an arm made of paper mache. Thanks for the memories. Lamont Wade Jr. went on a rehab assignment in Sacramento, so his knees were feeling better, and now it was a slight hamstring thing they were trying to work back out. Yeah. They sent Yavera back down to Sacramento when they activated Alex Cobb for his start the other day, and Cobb didn't look bad. He gave up two solo shots in his return. Anthony DeSclafani came back on Tuesday and started for the Giants, and that was his return from, I think, was it a 60-day DL stint?
Yeah, I believe so. But anyway, it was the right ankle, it was the big ankle.
Yeah, it was. And I was a little surprised that they brought him back against Atlanta. I mean, that's a really tough hitting lineup in a hitter's ballpark. Why not save him for next week at home against Cincinnati? I don't know, but that was Cap's call. Not mine. They don't pay me that kind of money. So they activated Tony Disco to pitch on Tuesday. And then today, when Luis Gonzalez was placed on the injured list, they recalled Donovan Walton from Sacramento and completed the trade of Steven Duggar to the Texas Rangers for one Willie Calhoun. And we're out of breath every time we finish doing this portion, every single time. Like, Farhan's going to kill us one of these days.
Yeah, HR for the Giants has got to be just like, really, Farhan? We got to process more personnel paperwork.
Like, I wonder if he gives them a heads up, like, we're looking at these guys, so if you need to grab their bios together really quick, get them together.
Yeah, yeah. The doctors are like, another physical? Jesus Christ, let's do this. Okay. They just, or if they like go to doctors on duty, it's like they just happen so often. They just have
it's a line of Mariners players out the door waiting to get Giants physicals.
Oh yeah, give me your Mariners hat. Okay, here's the Giants hat. Okay, now cough for me. Turn left.
You passed.
Oh my god, I love it.
That's pretty good.
All right, so we're going to still do that segment while the Giants are still in the playoff hunt. Why are we going to win it all? And I'm going to say, stop losing the goddamn walk-offs in one-run games. You got to get better at that. And if you get better at that, got a shot. But I tell you what, 9-14 the rest of the year ain't going to cut it. Might not even make the playoffs if you continue that way.
No, it's We touched on it so much. It seems like a turning point in the season right now. That's the difference between last year and this year. I'm going to go with the reason they'll win it all is Willie Calhoun, just because he's going to have a game that he wins all on his own somehow. Like, he hits a three-run homer, steals a base, and gets knocked in with the winning run in the bottom of the eighth inning or some crap like that. So I'm going to put it all on Willie Calhoun's shoulders to win a game this year, which will help get the Giants to the playoffs and eventually win the World Series. So it's a lot of layers, but, you know, it's a good stretch. I'm just trying to find the positive because I watched every game in this freaking road trip, and it started out so good. It was like, all right, great, Rodon pumping, you know, the Giants are going to go on a roll, and then just to have them lose four out of the next five games was frustrating to watch. So I'll take the positive from the Willie Calhoun trade and say he'll win us a game, kind of like Mike Tauchman last year. You know, Tauchman had the catch and the grand slam, two different games, but still. So Willie Calhoun will have a game like that, and that's why the Giants will win it all.
Plus, his first name's Willie. Giants have a long, lasting tradition with guys named Will or Willie. So we'll
they usually seem to work out. I can't think of a bad one lately, and don't anybody go try to find one either.
Yeah, you're going to find something, right? Like even Willie McGee played for the Giants for a little bit. You know, he didn't do great.
Right. He was a good player.
He was good while he played for the Giants. I mean, Will Smith, right? I mean, even his short tenure was really good with the Giants. And then, of course, Giants didn't want to re-sign him. And they probably could have used him by now, but right about
poor
now.
Poor Willie Van Landingham is getting left out now.
Oh, poor guy. We're not going to recall all the Willies right now. But anyway.
I can't. That's the only other William I could think of was Van Landingham.
That should be an article, Eric, the all Will or Willie team for the Giants.
All right, see if we can get one at each position throughout the time.
There's going to be some random position with no Willies, and we're going to have to move someone over there and go, sorry, you need to play, you know, whatever, shortstop or something. Oh, that's too good. All right, so like you said, Giants are playing the Cincinnati Reds and the Detroit Tigers and the Chicago White Sox coming up. The White Sox aren't as bad as the other two teams, but this is where they need to get fat and happy. And they did a good job against the Royals and the Pirates. Granted, they could have swept both of them, but they got to have those winning records against those losing teams. So, you know, you got to take two out of three from Cincinnati and hopefully take, you know, both against Detroit. Obviously, they're all major league teams. You can lose to anyone at any time. But they really got to kind of reduce the sting of the losing four out of the last five. They got to have a couple of quality games in here. And hopefully over this next, three, five, eight games against these three teams, all at home, by the way. I mean, I'm really six out of eight. I mean, don't you think, Eric? I mean, that's what they got to shoot for. I mean, five out of eight still winning, but it's just not – just one above 500. Six out of eight, man. Yeah. They got to get back into this thing. They got to beat up on the bad teams.
They got 2 days off around the Detroit series. They're off on Monday and they're off on Thursday next week. So they can play with the rotation. They can get guys healthier to set up the weekend series against the White Sox pretty much to try to ensure a winning homestand at that point. Because you got to figure they are going to take at least one, hopefully two from Cincinnati, and they're going to take one or two from Detroit. So the White Sox series will probably be key when it comes down to it. But you're right, they got to beat up these crap teams before then. And Cincinnati's got the worst record in the National League, if you can believe it or not, Cubs fans, because they're even worse. But they're still a team that took two out of three from the Giants in Cincinnati.
They lost two out of three in Cincinnati. So, you know,
you got to respect it. Like you said, you got to respect it.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Yeah, hopefully I might, knock on wood, be going to the game, covering the game on Tuesday night against Detroit. We'll see. It may not work out, but I'm going to try.
I mean, that's fun. It's a rematch of 2012 and all that.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I was like, when was the last time I saw the Tigers, you know, Oracle Park? This is, Yeah, I kind of saw three home runs by a panda in game one. That was still something I'll never, ever forget. It's incredible. All right. Well, that'll do it for episode 256 of the TorchCast. We'll be back probably. I have a long work research expedition that I leave for on next Wednesday. So most likely we're not going to be able to record for about another 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks and a day or two. But obviously Eric and I and Willie, who's, by the way, moving back to the Bay Area, moving back to San Francisco as we speak. He is driving somewhere in the Southwest. I think he's somewhere in Arizona or something, like maybe getting into California by now.
He might. Yeah, I was going to say he's probably entering California by now.
Yeah, but he'll be back up here, and so him and I are going to be able to actually physically go to games together, and kind of he'll be more involved in TorchCast than he has been. You know, he's been so busy lately. So we're going to welcome Willie back. Hey, another Willie. with open arms. Yeah, Bob's asking if we're. Oh, that's right, Bob. You're coming out for the Will Clark game, huh? I'm absolutely going to try and make that game. So I can't guarantee it, but yeah, it would be something that at some point I want to have. You know, also a TorchCast meetup too. If we have listeners or other, you know, podcasters or whomever in the area, we should try and get together for you know, a game sometime. That would be kind of nice. But that could be a good opportunity to do that, since it's going to attract a lot of interest from the fans and the other guys, podcasters and other media types that are probably going to be covering the game that day. But that's a good idea, Bob. Definitely going to try and make that. And then Willie probably will be around as well during then, but we'll sort out.
You of all people games. Need to try to make that game.
Oh, really, yeah. Do. I mean, he's my favorite player of all time. You know, I got all the jerseys with 22 on it. I mean, he's the man for me. I got a bunch of signed cards and photographs and everything. I finally got to interview him back in 2014. It's in our archives if you want to check that out. Got him in the dugout before a Giants game, and he's just super nice, super transparent, you know, just – love talking ball with that guy. I could have a beer with him and talk for hours. But yeah, look forward to him finally getting his just desserts and getting that number retired. So that'll be pretty cool. What date is that? July something, I think.
I have no idea. I was trying to find it and I didn't see it on a Saturday. If Bob's still hanging around, he'll know off the top of his head a lot quicker than us.
Since he's planning to come all the way out here.
Right. I it's not this weekend, obviously. The E40 bobbleheads this weekend. So, you know, everybody get excited for that one.
July 30th.
It is. It's against the Cubs. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that makes sense. 1989. Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. I kind of love that. I really do. As somebody who that series means something different to than a lot of people, I kind of love that. That's awesome. Because Clark, I mean, between the Grand Slam and his base hit in Game 5, I mean, that's his series.
Yeah, Grand Slam off of Maddux and then the single off of Mitch Williams, man. That was two iconic moments in Giants lore, so... Yeah, making it against the Cubs kind of makes sense. So that'll work.
Yeah, that does.
I would cool. say the Cardinals for the fighting, but, you know.
Didn't they already come through town? That's what I was going to look for. I was like, wait, when does it say? That's why I couldn't find who it was. I expected it to be St. Louis.
That's going to be so cool. That's going to be so freaking cool when he's able to do that. So, let me see where my notes. There they are. All right, so yeah, that'll do it for episode 256. We'll see you in a couple weeks for 257. You can follow us collectively at TorchCast, like us on Facebook. You can also email us anything you want. That's how I got the start on this show. I was emailing segments to Willie and Ben and company called Out of Left Field, and it was like statistical oddities of the Giants. So you can send anything you want to TorchCast@gmail.com. You can like us individually, follow us individually at ChadK21, at 2OutHits with the number 2 for Eric, at Willie Dills for Willie. And you can find everything here at TorchCast.com. And Eric, I know you just wrote the post-game summary for today's game over at Giants Chatter. And what else you got going on? You still got Coffee in the Cove. I mean, you guys are busy. It's a good quality content over there at Giants Chatter.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Coffee in the Cove will be back this Sunday. I'm not sure what time just yet. We might bump up against the pregame show again. I don't know. I don't know if our 6 viewers were more than the viewers they had. So that's kind of the comparison we have to look at. Now, Coffee in the Cove, though, is every week. So, you know, definitely check that out over on Giants Chatter on Facebook. And there'll be live. I'll probably be live streaming a preview of the Giants Red Series tomorrow afternoon with Brooks Newsom.
Oh, nice. Very good. So you and Brooks tomorrow before the Red Series. Fantastic. Right. Oh, man, I wish we had more time to do all that stuff like that, but you guys are taking care of that over Chatter, so it's a good...
It's a lot easier when you have 8 different guys taking care of it than just, you know, the two of us. So thankfully, we can all babysit it.
Yeah, rotating summaries and participating in the podcast at different times, so it's really good, so...
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Until then, go Giants, and hopefully they are still wild card and NL West contenders. Until then, have a great time. Amen.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.